It's now time for our featured segment. It is called Mic Check, as you know that. And we are awaiting. We are awaiting this email, Anthony Turner.
I'm waiting for that package, man.
That has been promised since last week, Anthony Turner. We made the announcement that we're going to be making another big announcement regarding Grooving in the Park. I am looking here. I am looking here. And I haven't seen any. I haven't seen any email that come in as yet, Anthony Turner. But as you know, this is Grooving Radio, and we're going to continue with Mic Check. If we get that email, we're going to be making the grand announcement. As I said before, ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for our featured segment. It is called Mic Check. And this morning, ladies and gentlemen, a milestone in radio, celebrating 35 years of sharing and caring with his Caribbean diaspora listenership, ladies and gentlemen. From Health is Here to the once meeting in the African Village Square. Who is our special guest, Anthony Turner? I would like you to take this time to amplify the voice of our guest, Anthony. Introduce the guest.
Yes, Rastam, our special guest on Mic Check this morning. He is from the University of the West Indian trained national scientist and chemist, Columbia University political scientist and health maintenance institute graduate. We're talking about Mr. Junior Joao Blake. And since 1987, Blake has served as host of Health is Here and the meeting in the African Village Square, heard right here on WVIP 93.5 FM. And Joao Blake's passion and in-depth knowledge of health, politics, and music from around the globe, it has inspired him to create both radio programs as conduit to expose international alternative healthcare practices and options, trends and practitioners, musical artists, and engage listeners in political dialogue and activism. And Blake's broad professional background includes more than 35 plus years in the communications field, scientist, food therapist, counselor, and human development advocate, and renowned for standard setting programs, news, public affairs information, and culturally relevant shows. His program serves a growing audience of nearly 250 plus thousand listeners weekly throughout the tri-state community. So we welcome our friend, our brother, Joao Blake, a man who hails from the West in Jamaica, to Mic Check this morning.
A man who attended the oldest high school in Jamaica, the Mannings High School. My brother, Junior Joao Blake. Good morning, Mr. Blake.
Hey, thank you for the surprise.
West is best.
35 years of radio, Mr. Junior Joao Blake. How did it got started? Walk us back.
It started when you were a baby, Rustin. When you were less than 1 year old.
Indeed.
Once I got introduced to microcosmic science, I remember that the person who taught me, a person who you know very well, Dr. Ignatius Foster.
Indeed.
He charged me. I said, listen, young man, I want you to carry this message to the world for me, So basically, I'm true to that commitment. I've decided that I'll do it. And of course, in the study of microcosmic science, it's basically a study of life, it covers everything that appeals to me. Mm-hmm. Politics, social, work, history, culture, music, arts, everything, and especially nutrition, which is, absolutely critical to our community, something that we need to be focusing on a little bit more now.
Growing up in the West, attending Mannings High School in Jamaica, what was it like back then? And I'm asking you this question, and I don't want to age you, but you attended school in a time when it was a few people who looked like you. had a chance.
No.
Hold on. Let me finish. It was a few people, and I won't take this statement back, who looked like you, who had an opportunity to go into a school like Manning's High School. Common entrance had to be created in Jamaica for commoners in Jamaica to attend high school, because high school in Jamaica wasn't a place where every Jamaican had an opportunity to attend, Mr. Blake. What was it like attending Manning's High School back then?
Well, I mean, you know, you asked that question, then you make that statement. Oh, you expect me to answer now? I mean, listen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you see, what really happened is that when we went to school, we never really appreciated the kind of opportunity we had. And as well, we never even understood how special it was to go to a school like that.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, we went to school in an era when probably 0.5% at the top percentile of school of the result of the passers went to high school, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very unique and special experience.
All right.
But as well, when I went to school, it was still a little bit colonial. I started high school in 1964.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to tell people that the year I went to school was the year when the school year changed.
Mm-hmm.
It went from January to September that year. So that was we were the first set of people who went to high school that year.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it was a small community.
Yeah.
School was family then.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we had houses and things, you know. So the school population was just about 700.
Mm-hmm.
And we know everybody in school.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know.
Until now, you know.
You know, that is why I made that statement, you know, because I know you went to high school at a time when we were just inching out, because we're still there under the colonial slave masters. Jamaica got nationhood.
No, we're not out yet.
No, I said we're inching out. We're not out yet. Jamaica got nationhood in 1962, and 61 years later, as I always say here, Anthony, we are emancipated. They're telling us that we are independent. And for those of who know better like myself, I'm calling it nationhood. And yet still, we still have a colonial education system. Anthony Turner.
Yes, good morning, Juno. How you doing, man?
Why, you know, fellow Wessis, good morning.
Wessis best, right?
Well,
Juno, some say that being healthy should be a part of our overall lifestyle. Just talk to us about that, because you're a big advocate for, you know, healthy living.
Well, absolutely. When you ask me to talk about it, it's so difficult to speak on such a simple subject.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I can say to the general audience that, listen, I am about personal interest, about self-interest, and, of course, if it can be about collective interest, that would be the greatest. But for each of us, you know, especially in light of this ruling coming down from the Texas court, that the FDA cannot insist on bringing for the anti-abortion pill. You know, at least somebody has challenged the FDA. Most of us have taken our lead from those kinds of organization in terms of identifying what is it we need to consume on a daily basis. Well, you know, ladies and gentlemen, I want to say to you that those of us who grew up in Jamaica, especially if coming from my era, we grew up in the organic years of life.
Mm-hmm.
We grew up on organic foods and that kind of stuff, and we've benefited from it. But nowadays we look around and see our young people are dropping like flies.
Mm-hmm.
From all kind of conditions like high blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And heart problems and strokes and things that we never ever knew existed amongst young people many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think most of us need to pay attention to our welfare and our well-being.
Mm.
In fact, just yesterday I saw somebody drop a thing on social media that it doesn't matter what we eat or whatever, right? That we should just go ahead and just live life, because people who smoke live till they're 100 years old and all
wow.
that kind of stuff. But what we want for our people is that we want to have a great quality of life.
Mm.
And that is how I personally define longevity. A lot of people define longevity as living long. No, I define longevity as living optimally well. Mm-hmm. Being at the best you can be at for every moment of your life. Listen, mm-hmm. folks, if you don't want to be 50 or 60 or 70 and lose your lung or have to be in some kind of place suffering to breathe and right. all that kind of stuff. So we can live long, you know, but we don't live good.
Indeed.
So
indeed.
What we want is to live very, very well. And so we have to pay attention to what we eat,
yeah.
pay attention to our bodies, look at the changes that are going on in our system.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take them for granted. Granted, act on changes that we don't like.
Mm-hmm.
When we see adverse changes in our body, we should act to correct them immediately, as quickly as possible, and get away from this notion that we can just put anything in our body. Human beings have two important faculties, God-given faculties. We call them freedom of choice and consciousness.
Indeed.
Together, they cause us to have intellect. Intellect guides our rationality, and when we have good rationality, we should also have good logics.
Mm.
And if we have those kind of things, then we should understand, we should connect the dots and know that there are consequences to our actions, and whatever is happening to us has a cause in some mistake we made early in our lives.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
What we want to do is to make less mistakes.
Indeed. Right. You know, Mr. Blake, and I hate to compare the human body to a motor vehicle, but all cars are not built the same. All human beings are not built the same. And it's funny how someone will go out and purchase a car and put the best gas in the car, put the best oil in the car, put the best parts in the car. But when it comes to their body, they don't do the same thing. And yes, that is why some cars like a Mercedes would last longer than a Ford. So not everybody's going to live and live long by drinking and smoking and eating anything. We're not built the same way. But I want to go back to the radio thing, Mr. Blake. 35 years of sharing information like this on radio. 35 years of educating people on their health. Week in and week out, Mr. Blake. Some will call you Dr. Blake. I mean, where do you find the strength and the vigor to continue for so long?
Hmm? Well, just a couple of days ago, I was reading some stuff that I wrote, and I made a note of the fact that aspiration is guided by will. You know, or when we have aspirations, it has to be directed by our willpower. So what it is, when we talk about passion, that is the fire energy that evolves from our passion. So whatever we love, you know, whatever we love, we have to keep on working on it. And about 2 years ago on my Earth Strong,
mm-hmm.
in a program on my Earth Strong, I was saying to the community that, you know, sometimes when I go through life,
mm-hmm.
There are times when we feel like just abandoning certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have made a commitment that I am not going to abandon my people, especially mm-hmm. the African people and the circumstances that we're in.
Indeed.
And so I made a commitment then and there that,
mm-hmm.
something,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to spend the rest of my life working with my people, whatever it takes to help my people to be uplifted,
mm-hmm.
and those who will pay attention and take heed,
mm-hmm.
I will
mm-hmm.
give all my strength and my energy and my attention. So
One second, Anthony. Hold that point. One of your students just called Mr. Blake, Mr. Derek Morgan, and he said that, you know, you're going to behave yourself and answer the questions this morning. Don't try to dance around them. Thank you, Derek. Thank you, because I'm going to hold into this one. No. You know, when I was growing up, Mr. Blake, and you mentioned Brother Ignatius, and I always say thanks to Dr. Ignatius, because he was the one who actually converted me and transitioned me from stop eating meat into becoming a vegetarian. And I thank Dr. Brother Ignatius and the whole team down there at USUM back in the days. When I was growing up, I used to listen to radio and listen to folks like Monty Perkins. I used to listen to Barbara Gludan. And my mother, next door neighbor was Radcliffe Butler, one of the original broadcasters on JBC. Who influenced you, Mr. Blake, as a radio personality or a television personality? Who influenced you into what you do now?
Wow, that I'm going to say to you, when it comes to broadcasting,
mm-hmm.
I cannot say that I have any kind of influence.
Wow.
I don't intend my what when I came to radio with an original idea. Mm-hmm. I came to radio recognizing that radio was just a medium through which we could spread a message to the world as quickly as possible, mm-hmm. especially in that time, you know. Mm-hmm. And so basically when I came to radio, I just came with my own ideas, mm-hmm. of how to make the information available to our community. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's basically it.
Wow.
I can say, you know, that you know, it, just in terms of coming to read itself, mm-hmm. if there's a person who had a very strong influence on me, mm-hmm. it would have been Rashaan of Sundial.
Brother Rashaan.
Because he was the first person that I worked with on radio, mm-hmm. here in New York. Mm-hmm. But you know, before that, you know, I did college radio, mm-hmm. and of course I did some community radio, mm-hmm. As well, City College and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But basically that was it. You know, it was more just the idea of just bringing information and not necessarily any kind of imitation, because what we were bringing was brand new.
Right.
I didn't come to radio to play music. I didn't come to do politics or anything. I came to do health. Mm. And when we came, it was like it wasn't you know, a common thing to find health presenters on radio.
Indeed, you know, I wouldn't look at it as imitation, but I'm going to respond to that after Anthony asks his question. Go ahead, Anthony.
Yeah, Junior, Rascal took it back to radio, and you know, being on radio from back in the 80s, and I'm looking here on both the names of your program, Health is Here and the Meeting in the African Village Square. And I'm intrigued by the Meeting in the African Village Square. Talk to us about that program and why it's important to connect not just Jamaica, but the diaspora with our African brothers.
Well, you know, the Meeting in the African Village Square, it was a concept that we, you know, because, you know, I'm a Pan-Africanist, you know, we don't highlight that, mm-hmm. as much. Agave, I'm a Pan-Africanist. And, of course, as a Rastafarian, we are always concerned about the continent of Africa. Mm-hmm. So, basically, just in terms of bringing the message on the radio, mm-hmm. what we envisioned was a little bit more like what Walter Rodney did on the Gully Banks in West Kingston, mm-hmm. Which was the ground with our community. And so in having a kind of radio grounding, what we wanted to convey to our listeners' minds is the idea that we are sitting in the village square, mm-hmm. Listening to an elder or sharing stories, listening to the grill, whatever it is. That was what we wanted to convey in that particular context. And of course, you know, because we brought the program at a time when there is a certain challenge in having people of African ancestry who are the offsprings of enslaved Africans. It's kind of difficult, mm-hmm. to have them attach them their consciousness to the continent of Africa. Mm-hmm. The Rastafarian communities, perhaps the community that's not a problem with, mm-hmm. but for other people, it there are challenges. And so that's what we wanted to do in that program, to have people understand that, listen, you know, a people without roots, as Marcus Garvey has often said, is a people without no future or anything like that. And so what we just want to do is a kind of a religious exercise, mm-hmm. in that we want to tie our people back to the continent of Africa, to have them understand that is our power, that is our strength, that is everything that we have. There's nothing else in the world that we have.
Mm. You know, let me go back. And well said, Mr. Blake. Let me go back to this. As I said, when I was growing up in Jamaica, one of the person that intrigued me on the radio was Monty Perkins, and it was the way he asked questions, and it was the way he wasn't afraid of taking on topics, and that is why we here at Grooving Radio, we got into this thought-provoking kind of radio by discussing issues that folks don't feel like they want to discuss. And when I came from Philadelphia, when I came from Pennsylvania, and I came to New York, and I ran into WLIB, and I used to go down to the Apollo Theater to listen to folks like Gary Bird every other Friday. They used to broadcast live. And I said, wow, when I listened to the information that they were sharing. And then I was just so intrigued in trying to know more. And I remember watching an interview, Anthony, with Katie Couric, and when she was working at the Pentagon as a reporter, and she got the call to be at NBC to anchor the morning show. And her old boss told her that, Katie, even though you're nervous, take the job. You don't have to know everything, but know a little of everything. Try and know a little of most things. And that's what we do, Anthony. We research and we come, but you go back and you look at Miss Barbara Glidden and the kind of program that she was presenting. And it's not that we were imitating her. We learned from her. We learned from Mutty Perkins. We learned from the Gary Birds of the world. And hence, I'm asking everyone, you know, if you're not going to broadcasting school, you're going to have to learn the trade, the craft from somebody. You know what I'm saying? Look, I learned from Junior Juwawa Blake because I used to listen religiously to meeting in the African Village Square. I may be a little boy then, as you said, Mr. Blake. I was a little baby when you started radio. So I used to listen with my parents then, huh? If you want to show me up like that. I used to listen. So at the end of the day, Mr. Blake, we learned from each other, and that's why I took it back there. But 35 years, it's a long time. And then the kind of radio that we do, Mr. Blake, the kind of radio that we do, it's a difficult challenge to do this kind of radio. But you're able for 35 years, huh?
Yeah, difficult only because of the nature of the community that we serve.
Mm-hmm.
Because in a state of underdevelopment, we tend not to appreciate even the meaning of radio,
mm-hmm.
the meaning of the medium and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and we in Jamaica, radio is a thing that people get, and they don't know how they get it. They just know that it's turn a switch, and
mm-hmm.
they get radio.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand the production. They don't understand even that somebody has to pay for radio and all that kind of stuff. So, in our community, we have not developed a correct relationship with it. And people's expectations from radio is just that, they're supposed, when they turn the switch on, that's the kind of concept we bring from Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
And we just turn the switch on . But what it is, radio is a very, very powerful empowerment tool.
It is.
And, it's often used against our community.
Mm-hmm.
So here it is. You bring up names like WLIB, and you bring up broadcasters like Gary Bird and the Apollo Theater,
mm-hmm.
and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't we still hearing from broadcasters like Gary Bird? Why don't we still have stations like WLIB?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
All of those things were cut off systematically.
Yeah.
Not accidents, not because LIB ran out of money, but the systems made sure that they did not exist anymore because they didn't want more of what was going on then to keep on going on. So nowadays, your children don't have no Apollo to go sit in and listen to a Garbird or even to a Rasslim. You see, we have to go keep on working on the little VIP that we have.
Yeah.
And we have to still give thanks to William O'Shaughnessy
for his indeed.
Willingness to share station with our community.
All your thought, Mr. Blake, because we have to let love live.
Plant a seed of love, you'll reap it. Walk and speak of love, you'll see it.
And I'm showing some love to my brother Junior Juwawa Blake, who's celebrating 35 years on radio. Let love live.
A burden to society.
Let love live.
That is what they think of me. They see trouble in my eyes. Ask me why I'm angry. It's all the hypocrisy that every man sees, and still they're blind, so blind. There's no love, no love, I'm telling you, brother.
But we're showing it this morning.
Nobody's willing to compromise, and it's a shame, cause we need love, we need love, oh.
And I play that song in particular so my broadcasters, brothers and sisters, can realize and understand that it doesn't hurt to share, it doesn't hurt to care. Irie Jam is going to be up next, and they're celebrating 30.
It's powerful, it's informative, it's educational with lots of thought-provoking conversations. Yes, it's Groovin' Radio, Saturday morning 9 to 11:30 and Sunday evening 6 to 8. Right here on 93.5 WVIP, hosted by Ross Klemm. Join the Groovin' Radio experience and stay one step ahead.
Sing it, sing it. Tyrus Riley representing the Groovin' Radio, you know? All the girls who are tight and all man go on, bless up. I'm a Groovin', listening to Groovin' Radio. Come on, man.
It's here. It's here. The annual Groovin' in the Park, an evening of reggae, rhythm, and blues.
That's right. And on Sunday, June 25, 2023, Taurus Riley, Dean Fraser, and the Black Soul Band, they're all confirmed for Groovin' in the Park. Tickets are available at eventbrite.com. And that is how I welcome you back, ladies and gentlemen, to the final 25 minutes of our Groovin' Radio's presentation this Saturday morning. We are in our featured segment. It is called Mic Check. Our featured guest this morning is celebrating 35 years on radio. He's no stranger to WVIP 93.5 FM every Saturday morning from 6 until 8 p.m. and every Sunday morning from 6 until 8 a.m. and every Sunday morning from 7 until 8 a.m. And previously, you would have caught him in meeting in the African Village Square overnight, Saturday night into Sunday morning, Mr. Junior Jiwawa Blake. But before I get to Mr. Blake, Anthony, I made a mistake earlier. Run and the boss call and says, if you don't correct it, don't come home. The Bullseye Marketing and Promotion Team, Anthony, Bullseye Marketing is the premier marketing agency for Caribbean products here in North America. They're looking for a office manager and administrative assistants and brand ambassador. Please call 347-449-7848. That's 347-449-7848. Or you can send your resumes, ladies and gentlemen, to bullseyestaffing@gmail.com. BullseyeStaffing@gmail.com. Please do so. Yes, if you'd like to be a part of the Bullseye marketing team. And before I get back once again to Mr. Blake, folks who have contracted the COVID-19 virus, Anthony, some folks, hundreds and hundreds of folks are living what they call long COVID. Some people, after 2 years of contracting the virus, they cannot taste and they cannot smell. Let me return to our featured segment. Mic check. Good morning again, Mr. Blake.
Yes, Ross Klemm, give thanks. And you know, listen, I like the way in the first segment on a note of love, you know.
Yes, sir.
Because love is the essence of everything.
Indeed.
You know,
indeed.
Everything.
Indeed.
So, once again, you know, we appreciate that statement and the sentiment.
Indeed.
And of course, the practice that you also spoke about with respect to loving and
yes,
you know, even in terms of dealing with the marriage and thing,
yes,
that's
sir.
Such a beautiful thing, my brother.
You
that's
know,
what we need.
Yeah, you know, Mr. Blake, I it took me a long time to really get to where I'm at. And I remember when I started New York Radio, it was by a little accident then. Put it this way. I was asked over and over to join a particular program and I refused. And then one day this same Anthony Turner and Miss Andrea Bullins decided that no, you're gonna do something. We were in the midst of doing Caribbean Lifestyle TV. That's a television program. So you know, they took me to this place, Mr. Blake, and says, this is where you're gonna do radio. You know, and Mr. Blake, I to say that I have any regrets, the only kind of regret that I have is that I have to give up so much family time. But is it worth it? I think it is. And I think we have shared a lot. And you know, taking a cue from somebody like you, Mr. Blake, and see how much you have shared, how much lessons you have brought to us over the years. And you are well-rooted and grounded from Manning's High School to the University of the West Indies. They're celebrating 75 years, as a matter of fact. You know, I can see where you're so deep-rooted into all of this, Mr. Junior Jiwawa Blake. And that's why I am very passionate in what I do. And again, I take some of the cues from people like you. Talk a little about the importance of higher education, Mr. Blake, because you have used your program to educate many of us.
Okay. Wow. Well, you know, when you talk about higher education, you know, you're stepping in deep waters here. Because I've often said to people, you know, that if I should talk about education, even in my program, I kind of avoid talking about education or talking about even how people should pursue education. Just there, they had a little discussion with Mr. Tyrone Senior, and I was saying to him, listen, it's time for us to really start to talk about, to the community about education and how it benefits our community. Because, you know, a lot of people don't know that the thing that they call education can be a kind of slave system, you see. So when you talk about higher education, you know, I know you're probably thinking about it in terms of conventional terms. And yes, as one who has gone through, I've gone to several institutions of learning, and, you know, my experience has taught me that there's much, much, much more to be desired when it comes to what is described as education. So, you see, higher education actually begins, you know, from the day you're in the womb, you know. I suspect that when you say higher education, you're probably thinking about tertiary and onwards, just in terms of how we learn. But we have to remember that the first teacher is Mother Nature. It's a universe. When it comes to our survival on planet Earth, that's when we need to go to the establishment schools to learn the trades and the skills and the crafts that we need to survive in this world. Because when we serve other human beings, we have to have something to offer. And we have to also exercise our creativity. So what we need, as I tell my children all the time, so when you go to school, I do not necessarily care about what you become or what you want to do in life. The key is to pay attention to excellence, and some people have criticized me for striving for perfection, but excellence is what we should strive for, and as well, we should acquire the skills we need and collect the tools we need to execute our skills. That's what training and survival is all about. When it comes to higher education, that's when we engage those higher faculties that the divine has given us, consciousness especially, and freedom of choice. We have to pay attention to our intellectual development, and as well, we should all recognize that we have a right, perhaps even a responsibility, to be philosophers.
Indeed. Any regrets, Junior Jawawa Blake, when you look on the journey, the path that you have taken? Any regrets in there anywhere?
Well, you know something, I'll also say this to your ask them. You can't regret your journey, you know. If you had the opportunity to live again, there are some things that you could correct. And I often say that I wish I knew when I was 15 years old what I know now, because my life would have been different in many, many aspects, you know. But basically, what we have to do, we have to love our lives and celebrate it and don't live with no regrets. We have to let go of regrets and just basically analyze our experiences and make our future better because of those experiences. That's what history is for, and that's what memory is for. Memory and history are for those purposes, to help us to make our future better. And that's what I think, that's where I think we need to put our energy and be optimistic about the future as well.
You know, and I know Anthony, I have one more question, but I just want to make this statement, you know, that we here at Grooving Radio, we are obligated and committed. And when we're no longer obligated and when we're no longer committed, I think it's time for us to move on. But for now, Mr. Blake, we're so obligated to what we do. We're committed to the cause. And, you know, I keep going back, Anthony, to Roger Stephan, and I'll never forget that statement he made here on Grooving Radio when he spoke about his first interview with Robert Nesta Marley. And Bob told him that your radio program should be used to ed and he pointed on his head to educate, educate the people there, you know. So I had to laugh, but I know Bob was talking about education. Some of us like to talk about homeschooling, and some of us, like myself, I am deep rooted into technical education. Technically, you look at what's happening and how the world has developed. It's through technical education that we got here, folks. So so when we talk about education, as Mr. Blake says, it comes in different forms. Anthony, final question.
Yeah, Mr. Blake, as I'm listening to you, you know, I'm thinking about the World Wide Web, the electronic gadgets that many of our youths use, social media platforms that consume hours of our days. And I know a lot of people are concerned about the youths of the world, saying they have gone astray. Now, as a teacher, a philosopher, a Pan-Africanist, a Garveyite, what concerns, what ideas or messages do you have for the youth of today?
Well, you know, the thing is, the youth always need guidance, and this is what we're especially, people in the Western Hemisphere, especially African people in the Western Hemisphere, this is where we are missing. What we have a tendency to do is to lose contact and connection with our youth. I've been saying it for the past week. It's interesting that you're asking me this question today. People must recognize that children are the most important living forms of humanity on the planet. And we should stop treating children like they don't have any sense, and then they're like this little thing that is nobody today, and they'll probably turn into somebody a few years later. Look at everybody in the world who is important, who is, you know, from Putin to Biden to Trump to whoever it is. They were babes one day, you see, and this is what they have become. And if you don't like what they have become, it's because somebody did not treat them right and teach them right when they were infants. Indeed. So when it comes to that situation, in terms of helping people, helping children to understand, we have to take on the responsibility of knowing that our children are going to be our future adults. So you should see your children as being the same age as you are. That's the way we really want to deal with how we train them, because we have to seriously consider what they are going to become. And I think that's what's missing, if you ask me. So I'm not scared of social media. I think all of these things are good. Social media is wonderful. I just think that it's been misused, and it's misused because the people who are using it have not been trained correctly. You see, one of the problems we have here is that if we're living without a common interest, a common cause, a common destiny, something that we are working towards, that's when we misapply and misplace our intellect.
You know, we just have to pay when it comes to social media. Pay attention to the algorithm that they're using, folks. The folks who create these social media platforms, they have an agenda, Anthony Turner, and the algorithm that they use for some areas, they're just totally, totally different. Mr. Blake, as we wrap the conversation this morning, what message would you share to our listening audience about folks who wants to do radio? What would that message be?
Well, you know, let me put it this way. You know, unfortunately, there are too many people who do radio because they want to promote their ego. That's a very poor reason to do radio, because you simply think you can do better than somebody else, or that kind of stuff. I think if we want to do radio, we should have something that we want to offer for the upliftment of humanity. You know, when it comes to our community, I hope that people bring things that would help to uplift our community itself. So that is the message that I'd say. Let's do it for a very, very good purpose, for a very, very good cause, and know the status and the state of our people, and know that that's what we need to change. So if I were to use one word to say, why is it you're coming to radio,
make it a revolutionary purpose.
Indeed. Mr. Junior Juwawa Blake, celebrating 35 years on radio here. And I'm not going to tell you to give us 35 more years, but as long as you can, Mr. Blake, I'm just going to ask you to continue doing what you're doing. And thank you so much for what you have done for us as a community, as a country, as a people, and you continue to raise the bar each and every time you're here, sir. So thank you very much. Blessed 35 years and beyond.
My brother, let me just say to you, a big thank you. And as well, I must say to you that the gesture of giving me this surprise appearance this morning, speaks volumes
indeed
about you, about your character, you and Barbara Anthony and the entire Grooving team. Mm. I want to say a very, very big thank you for having me. I'm humbled by the opportunity. And, all I can say is just thank you and just leave it right there.
Indeed.
To keep on doing what you're doing to my brother.
You're very welcome, sir. One love. We'll talk soon, Mr. Junior.
All right, Junior.
One love.
Yeah, I'll see you soon, Mr. Clem.
One love, sir.
But yeah. I haven't seen you in a long time. But, West is love as always.
Ah, all right, one love. Ladies and gentlemen, we have come to the end of Mic Check.